Good morning. And welcome. It's great to see you all this morning. In this teaching that we call religious science or new thought or science of mind or whatever vernacular works for you, if you've been in it for a long time, you might remember that back in the day, we didn't talk about the Bible so much, and we didn't talk about Jesus so much. And we talked about Ernest Holmes and the law of attraction and all that stuff, but kind of stayed away from those old traditional places. And what if you've been with me for a while, you know that I am not afraid. I am not afraid to look at the Bible. I am not afraid to quote Jesus. And my perception of the Bible is that the Old Testament is rules and regulations for the people at the time. You know, you've got these children of Israel. You're trying to be fruitful and multiply and take over the earth and all of that. You're trying to keep things under wraps, and so you got rules and regulations. Then in the New Testament, the first four books are the teachings of Jesus about love and about compassion and about the recognition that God, the universe, our higher power, spirit, whatever you choose to call it, is not some hateful, surly, cranky old guy in a white beard up someplace. This presence of spirit is a loving, nurturing presence that is within us. Remember, Jesus referred to the Father as Abba, which translates to be daddy. So it's a loving, nurturing presence, not a judgmental, wrathful guy out there someplace. The rest of the New Testament, I believe, was the rules and regulations for how to get the church going. So we talk out of the Bible, but we talk out of the first four books of the New Testament. But if you remember in the Old Testament, they talked a lot about sacrifices. And it wasn't just every once in a while you'd bring the fatted calf. It wasn't every once in a while that you'd bring the whatever. There was an absolute set way to do this, and it was serious stuff. And Jesus said in Matthew 5 that when you take your sacrifice to the temple, recognizing that this was really important stuff, before you did it, go and forgive. Go and forgive, and I'll quote the actual verse after it a little later on, but go and forgive what needs to be forgiven before you bring the sacrifice in. So to me, that means this forgiveness stuff is really important. And you might remember when Jesus was asked, how many times do I have to forgive? He said, 70 times 7, which basically means it is an unlimited number. It's an ongoing process. So this morning, in the midst of all the hoo-ha, and I think you would agree with me, and your definition of hoo-ha might be different than mine. It is a purely spiritual term. All the hoo-ha in the government and the economy and all the rest of that, I believe we are called in this moment often and frequently throughout the day to forgive. So my topic this morning is 70 times 7, and I'm glad you're with me this morning. Now I invite you to get comfortable in your chair and relax, close your eyes if you would like, as we prepare for our affirmation and centering prayer. And I invite you to listen to these words from the book The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. Setting others free means setting yourself free, because resentment is really a form of attachment. It is a cosmic truth that it takes two to make a prisoner, the prisoner and the jailer. When you hold resentment against anyone, you are bound to that person by a cosmic link, a real though mental chain. You are tied by a cosmic tie to the thing that you hate. You must cut all such ties by a clear and spiritual act of forgiveness. You must loose him and let him go. By forgiveness, you set yourself free and you save your soul. So with that in mind, let's move into the light. And as we do, we are reminded that there is only one power, presence, and intelligence, and that is God. That is the universe, that is our higher power, that is spirit, whatever we choose to call it. We know that we are the essence, experience, and expression of this loving, nurturing presence. And we recognize and accept that we are one with one another as well as with all of life. And we come together in gratitude for the opportunity to be this morning and to be fully present, releasing everything that's happened up till now today, releasing thoughts of later today or tomorrow or next week so that we can just be. And as we feel this loving presence within us, expressing as us, we allow ourselves to just feel. Feel how we feel and recognize any area, any thoughts of dis-ease, of disorder, of resentment, anything that we're ready to let go of. And so often when we find those, there is forgiveness that can be done. So as we move into silent meditation in a moment, I invite you to consider anything that's not bringing you peace this morning. Any thoughts of struggle, of resentment, of lack, of dis-ease, whatever it is, there is no better moment than this one to release that. So let's move into the silence now. A Course in Miracles reminds us that we could have peace instead of this. It is always a moment-by-moment choice. And so in this moment, as we release those memories that no longer serve us, release those resentments that we're finally done with, we choose peace. And in gratitude together we say, and so it is. So we're talking this morning about forgiveness. And my experience has been that people in my life just don't do what I want them to do. Have you noticed that? Yep. If people would just do what I want them to do, drive the way I want them to drive, behave the way I want them to behave, my life would be so much easier. And of course, theirs would be too. Of course, because I know, well, we know what's best for them, don't we? Of course we do. When I do a memorial service, I often use that line in the service about how people don't always stay as long in this experience as we would have wanted them to stay. Sometimes they move on to their next experience before we're ready for them to go. And what can we do with that? We can forgive. And we must. We absolutely must. And it sounds out of, to me, at face value, it sounds out of order. Well, I'm at a memorial service. Why in the world would I want to forgive? Why would I need to forgive this person that's gone on to their next experience? Because they left you. The physical of them, the spiritual of them, as we know, never leaves us because we keep them in our hearts. But the physical of them left us maybe before we were ready for them to go. So what can we do with that? We can forgive. It's the best thing. Forgiveness makes no sense whatsoever. And I was reminded as I was working on my presentation yesterday, I was reminded there's an episode of The Golden Girls, one of the earlier ones, when Dorothy's daughter comes to visit, and it turns out that Dorothy's son-in-law has been having an affair. And Dorothy's daughter says, "We have to forgive him." And Dorothy says, "Forgive him? He doesn't deserve it," or something to that effect. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person and everything to do with us. Because I'll bet you money, the ex-spouse, ex-employer, child, parent, grandparent, politician, person driving 55 miles an hour in the left-hand lane when you're late, whoever it is, doesn't give a fig about whether you forgive them or not. But it matters so much to us. It matters so much to us. So that quote from Matthew, as I was talking about before our music, about going to the temple and bringing the sacrifice. And again, this is big stuff because we know they gave sacrifices for everything under the sun. And there was structure. They had the table, one of the temples, the table that's talked about is made of acacia wood lined with copper. So they didn't just go in and set up a card table and you come in and bring your sacrifices there and then go on to the football game. I mean, this was big, this was major stuff. And Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 23, "If it should happen, therefore, that while you're presenting your offering upon the altar, and right there you remember that your brother has any grievance against you, leave your offering there upon the altar and first go and make peace with your brother, then come back and present your offering. Try to get reconciled with your accuser promptly while you are going on the road with him, for your accuser might surrender you to the judge, and the judge would commit you to the jailer, and you would be cast into prison." So it's not only you got to do it before you take care of the sacrifice, but also obviously to get all the bad stuff taken care of. So this is huge. This was huge in the New Testament. You don't hear about it in the Old Testament because they weren't coming so much from the heart. They were coming from the, as we were talking about before, about the laws, and this is what has to be done, and so on and so on. In the book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, and you've heard me talk about this before, Edwin Gaines's book, wonderful book. One of the four spiritual laws is forgiveness. So this is big. This is big. And as we know, Jesus said 70 times 7. I was reading on the internet, and of course you can find everything under the sun on the internet, and there's an article from the Mayo Clinic that talks about the importance of forgiveness, that it affects us, that resentment and bitterness and hostility and anger and judgment and all of those things affects our physical being. And if you've ever had the experience of forgiveness, you know that it can be it's not only a spiritual and mental, but also can be a physical experience. And we'll talk more about that. If many of you that have been around for a while might remember Gordon Benson. He was a dear friend and one of our practitioners for years and years, and he made his transition a few months ago. And Karen was kind enough to give me some of the books out of his library, and I thank you again so much for that. One of the books was this book by Emmett Fox, who was one of the early writers in New Thought. And the title of the book is The Sermon on the Mount. This was written in 1934, but someone said there's nothing new under the sun. And listen to what Emmett Fox says about the importance of forgiveness. If your prayers are not being answered, search your consciousness and see if there is not someone who you have yet to forgive. Find out if there's not some old thing about which you are very resentful. Search and see if you are not really holding a grudge. It may be camouflaged in some self-righteous way, against some individual or some body of people, a nation, a race, a social class, some religious movement of which you disapprove, perhaps, a political party, or whatnot. If you are doing so, then you have an act of forgiveness to perform, and when this is done, you will probably make your demonstration. That's huge. So if we have something we're working on in our lives and it's just not shifting for us and we're just not getting the answered prayer, there's an opportunity to go and see, is the need for forgiveness blocking the flow of this good? Political party, religious organization, interesting stuff. Course in Miracles says, the holiest of all spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. So the need for forgiveness runs the gamut, and it could be the person that is in a hurry and zooms by us flying at above the speed limit, or it could be God with time to spare who's doing 55 in the left-hand lane. Or it could be someone from our past that where the relationship took a turn that we so didn't expect it to. There's the opportunity to forgive. Sometimes it's big stuff, what we judge as big stuff. You know, they're driving, I wish you'd drive differently, or I wish you'd taken out the garbage, or I wish you'd dot, dot, dot. But sometimes there's those deep, those experiences that we judge as deep hurts. And we don't know what to do with it. There is the opportunity to forgive and the need to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I have to spend time with you. Sometimes people think, well, if I have to forgive them, then I basically have to invite them to go to lunch. That is not what this means. Oftentimes that wouldn't be possible anyway because the person that we're forgiving is a parent or grandparent that's gone on to their next experience or that they live somewhere else. So we don't have to forgive them and invite them to lunch, but we need to forgive them so that we can move forward. This is the most selfish thing that we can do, and I use the word selfish in a wonderful way because the one that it's benefiting is us. And when we give ourselves this gift, then we can move on, because until we do, we can't. Forgiveness occurs when we finally recognize that all the actors in the movie were doing the best they could at the time, and that we bought a ticket to the movie as well. There are no victims, only volunteers. Now, we didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, okay, well, I'm looking for something new to chew on, so I'm going to draw this wonderful experience into my life. Chances are we didn't do that. However, there was something in that experience for us. When we accept that, we move down the road toward forgiveness. Until we get out of victimhood, and if you've ever had a situation where you just, and I've talked about this before, many of you will remember, I had a situation in my life, and in the backseat of my car, it was almost like I had a box with all the stuff for my pity party. And I had cups and plates and a cake and hats and some special music, some probably country western music, because, you know, a lot of that will just tear your heart out of your chest. And I just carried that with me in my car. And whenever somebody asked about that situation, it was almost like I was going to my car and physically taking my pity party out and setting it up along the side of the road and sitting down and doing the woe is me and the ain't it awful and all the rest of that. And you get to the point, and if you've ever had the situation in your life, you know, you get to the point where you start to tell the story. And the still small voice finally gets a word in edgewise and says, "Oh, for God's sake, aren't you tired of this story?" Many of you have heard the story of the lady in the lake, and she's carrying the rock. And the rock is that which needs to be forgiven, and it's a relationship, or it's a hurt, or it's an experience, or it's 20 years of experience that she just can't let go of, and she's drowning because she can't let go of this heavy rock. And the people on the shore yell, "Drop the rock being her story. And she says, "But I can't." And the people on the shore say, "But drop the rock." And she says, "But I can't." And they say, "Drop the rock." And she drowns because she just won't let go of the rock. The rock is the story of whatever that was. It's the story of the parent situation or the grandparent situation or the employer situation or the spouse situation that we just can't drop. But as soon as we do, we come to the top and swim to the side and get out of the lake and move forward. But until we do, we're stuck in the lake. We're stuck in the lake with that extra 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 500 pounds that needs to be forgiven and released. Forgiveness is a process, not an event. Some things, you know, the woman with 15 items in the 14 item line was probably might have been in a hurry because she had to get home to the kids because they're hungry, or she's late for an appointment and she's taking the stuff to work or whatever, and so I'll forgive her with that. But what that which we judge as bigger stuff, it's not a, oh, okay. It's a process, not an event. In the wonderful book, Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love, and I'll talk more about this book later as well, Stephanie Dowrick says, it's almost as though one has to incubate events. Let them settle. Unconsciously as well as consciously sort out what really matters and what does not, then slowly returning to them, find the learning in them. Take from them what they can give and begin to look forward to moving on. So we look at it. First thing is we look at it. And for many of us, just looking at it, just admitting that I so wish my parents would have or wouldn't have, or that my wife at the time would have, or husband at the time would have, or spouse at the time would have, or would not have, or whatever. It's a matter of looking at it and then taking the first step and the second step and the third step. But we do that in love and compassion for others, but most especially for ourselves. So who do we need to forgive? We need to forgive others. And I talked about that experience of whoever it was. If people just did what we wanted them to do, we wouldn't have these problems. For me, sometimes it's not just the people in my immediate circle, it's the people that I see on television or the people that I read about. And in the wonderful book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, when Edwin Gaines is talking about forgiveness, she gives the example of her grandmother living in Houston when Edwin was young, and you might have heard this story, but bear with me. Talks about her grandmother sitting in the evening in a rocking chair watching television, chewing a little tobacco, because, you know, sometimes Southern ladies do that. I have one Southern lady in my family that does that, and it's okay. But she's sitting there in the rocking chair with her chewing tobacco and watching the television, and on the news they're showing that some prostitutes had been arrested in Houston. And she's in a rocking chair, and she's rocking a little faster, and she says, "Those hussies." And the next night, there's coverage, and she says, "Those hussies." And the third night, she's watching, and she says something, and Edwin says, "Grandma, do you know what reincarnation is?" And she said, "No." And Edwin said, "Some people believe that you come back as whoever it is that you're not able to forgive." And her grandmother thought about that and thought about that and didn't say much. And then the next night, they were watching, and the news coverage was again about the arrest for prostitution. And Edwin's grandmother sat there in her rocking chair, and she said, "Well, bless their hearts." The truth is, and this is big, at least this was for me, the truth is we have the people on our path and they do what they do. And we can say, "I wouldn't have done that. I would have made different choices if you just would have dot, dot, dot." But the truth is we cannot insert ourselves behind that person's eyes to see what they saw, to feel what they felt, to experience what they experienced. So even though they can describe it to us, even though we can know everything that happened for them, we can't know about their experience. So all we can do is know that they did the best they could do, just as we did the best we could do, and forgive them. That's all we can do. That is all we can do. So the opportunity to forgive other people, there's the opportunity to forgive ourselves. And sometimes it looks like the opportunity to forgive somebody else, but it turns out to be we're the ones that need it the most. And I had an experience of that. Some of you might remember hearing the story. Our granddaughter was born last January. No, last October. October, year and a half ago. Almost 2 years ago. It's highly insulting that I got old enough to have a granddaughter, but that's okay. That's a separate story. Anyway, and thank you. Yes, yes. It happens to the best of us. Yes. Anyway, granddaughter's born. They're up in Glendora going up to see the granddaughter. And my son calls and says, "You know, my mom, my ex-wife, is in Escondido, and you're going right through Escondido. Could you stop and pick her up on the way?" Now, I am his father. I am Sadie's grandfather. I am a loving, nurturing person. Of course I'm going through Escondido. Of course it would be convenient. Of course there's room in the car to pick up my ex-wife and ex-mother-in-law. Of course I will do that. Hung up the phone. And as I was pressing the button to disconnect, my ego is screaming. 4 hours in the car? Are you out of your mind? Blah, 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 blah. Well, we were only married for 2.5 years. It was 28 years ago. What's going on here? What I found out was there was forgiveness work to be done, but it was forgiveness of myself. Of what happened, of why I did what I did. And yes, I did the best I could do at the time, but I never had completely looked at that and forgiven it. So sometimes it looked like, because my first response is, okay, you got to forgive her. Didn't need to. There wasn't anything to forgive. The forgiveness had to come about me. So sometimes we need to treat ourselves with the loving kindness that someone else would. Because if I was telling you my story, you would say, you did the best you could, and that was a terribly difficult time for you, and just everybody needed something, and everybody got what they got, but everybody was right there where they were supposed to be. You would say that, and I love you for saying that, but so often it's so much easier to forgive somebody else than it is ourselves. But it's so important, because then we release that and can move on. Sometimes we need to forgive God, spirit, the universe, our higher power, whatever you choose to call it. Sometimes we need to do that. Because if we come from traditional teaching, there might be that thought or that belief or that residue about that God is up there someplace and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And if you have anything important, that old belief, which is not the truth, but there is that old belief, and if you have anything in the Lord taketh away column, you might need to forgive that. And I know that sounds funny, but it's okay. Because now we recognize that everybody is on their own path. Edwin Gaines says that God doesn't have grandchildren. Each person has their own personal relationship to spirit. Each person is here for the time that they're supposed to be here, and then they move on. So if they were only 20 or only 60 or only 80 or only whatever, and we wish they would have stayed here longer, we know that it was perfect because they were here for the time that they were supposed to be here. But recognize that if you need to forgive God, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. We need to forgive because we need to forgive, not because we should. And if your ego starts to talk about, well, you know, you really should do this, that doesn't work. In fact, my experience has been anytime I have a thought that I should be doing something, chances are it's not what I should be doing, because should so often comes from ego or rules and regulations rather than what I want to do, what my heart is telling me to do, what spirit is telling me to do. There's sometimes there's a difference, sometimes there's not. I should do the dishes. And there are those shoulds because we need to and it's no big deal. But the heart-centered stuff, we need to be aware of what's going on there. In this teaching we call religious science and the law of attraction and all of that, there's a trap sometimes for us, because if there are no victims, only volunteers, if we drew all of this to us, then there is the opportunity to beat ourselves up because, well, what did you do? It's all your fault. How did you create this? We must not fall into that. Because the truth is, everything comes with a lesson and a blessing. Course in Miracles says, everyone and everything leans toward me to bless me. Sometimes that blessing is chocolate mousse with raspberry sauce. Sometimes that blessing so doesn't look like a blessing, but it's what we needed, because we needed to learn about that. We needed to have that experience of forgiveness so that we could see another part of the world and another part of the experience of the richness of life, richness not always being something that we judged as positive, but the richness of life, so that we can have that in our toolbox to move forward. A dear friend of mine talks about the toolbox that we carry with us of wisdom and of knowledge and of experiences and of love and compassion, and we keep adding when we allow ourselves to live and to be, so that we can draw on that wisdom and that knowledge and that love as we move forward. We talk about positive thinking and just everything's wonderful and everything's peachy and all the rest of that, and the window dressing is that everything is. But how often do we have those things that we just won't look at because it's not supposed to be that way? We're not supposed to have those experiences, but we do. And when we allow ourselves to have the experience, forgive what needs to be forgiven and move forward, then we get the richness from them, we get the lessons, we get the joy, and move forward. But we gotta look at them, we gotta feel the feelings, process it through, and then move on. Forgiveness is all about digging down in and saying, yes, that was lousy, but I see what happened. I don't understand it, and it's okay. But I feel the feelings, I release it, and move forward. We talk about resurrection on Easter, but we resurrect ourselves every time we come out of that tomb of anger and hurt and bitterness and resentment and all the rest of that, and come into the bright light of the recognition that everything happens for a reason, that everyone and everything leans toward us to bless us. We forgive and step into that light of knowingness and allow ourselves to move forward. So that's the who. The how, as I talked about before, is a process, not an event. But what happens is all of a sudden we first say, this is not bringing me peace, because we keep thinking about it. We keep resenting it. We keep wishing it was something other than what it was. We see it, and we start to recognize that we can forgive it, that we can forgive it. And we start the process, and the process is being willing. In the book, Sermon on the Mount, Edmund Fox says, the first step in forgiveness is just being willing to. And every time you have that thought, you say to yourself, I'm willing to forgive that. And I'm willing to forgive that. And the way that you tell that you're forgiving is you start to think of it less. You start to think of that person less, that resentment less, and you think of that person in kindness just a little more. Or you don't think of that person at all. Either way is fine. But you process that and you keep processing, and then all of a sudden you think of that person and it's been a week, or it's been a month, or it's been 6 months since you've thought of that person. And when you think of that person, it's a different feeling. Mary Morrissey says, when you've forgiven, it's safe for that person to walk down the streets of your mind without being attacked. I love the concept of that, because if you have someone that needs to be forgiven, and it might be yourself, imagine them walking down the streets of your mind. Would you jump out from behind a lamppost and beat them over the head? Or would you walk up to them and embrace them? Or would you just observe them walking? It's about healing that relationship. And she says, Mary Morrissey says in her book, Building Your Field of Dreams, that the relationship never ends. Because where's the relationship? In our minds. We might not see them ever again. They might have gone on to their next experience, but we'll always have that relationship. So the secret for us is to heal that relationship so that it's safe. Again, it's safe for them to walk down the streets of our minds. Who are we doing this for? Ourselves. They don't care. They don't care. But it's the greatest and most wonderful gift we can
give ourselves? That wasn't an open question, but I'm so glad to hear that you're paying attention.
You know that it's done when you can bless them.
And I'd like to close with this wonderful quote about what it means to bless. This is from the Jack and Cornelia Addington's book that I've misplaced the title of it, but it'll come to me. So let's move into the light.
So just take a deep breath and allow yourself to be fully present in this moment.
And listen to these words written by Irvin Seal from the Addington's book that I don't remember the name of. To bless a thing or a person is to fill it with life. Life is expansion, and the thing will expand and progress. To bless it is to unfold it, to enfold it warmly in your thought and feeling, and consciously desire its fullest and most beautiful expression. To bless is to send forth a power which is of God and therefore omnipotent. To bless is to take an inward stance in relation to something or someone. It is to speak the word of good and then to stand silently while the currents of life flow through the patterns of your thought. To bless is to release the hidden life in everything and everyone.
So in this moment, we are reminded of our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. And there's no better time than this moment to forgive. And so we bless our ex-spouses. We bless our parents and grandparents, our children and grandchildren, our dear friends who have gone before us, who we weren't ready to let go of. We bless our ex-employers. We bless everyone. We bless our favorite political party and the other guys. We bless the teaching of religious science, of new thought, of science of mind, and everyone else. Because the truth is, we're all the beloved of God. That's all there is. That is all there is. We bless them. We honor them for their experience in our lives, knowing that they've always come to bring us something we needed. And we release anything unlike love, anything unlike peace, and we are free. So in gratitude, together we say, and so it is. So let us know together that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.